Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome to the first episode of This Song Is Yours for 2024. As always, I'm your host, Simon Fink, and we're kicking the year off with a bang. Today, we've got the incredible US folk pop trio Tiny Habits gracing our very podcast. Now picture this, three incredible musical minds, all Berklee School of Music alumni, who craft intricate folk pop that not only tug at the heartstrings, but also take you on a journey through their intimate musical universe. Tiny Habits, which is comprised of Xenia Khan, Maya Ray, and Judah Mayauer, have been setting the folk pop scene ablaze with their mesmerizing harmonies over the past 18 months. Now, if you're wondering why the names might sound familiar, it is because Tiny Habits have been on the road with musical powerhouses like Lizzie McAlpine and Noah Kahan for the last year or so. Guess what? They are now landing in Australia this week to support the incredible Gracie Abrams and even headline their own show in Melbourne. Now, in today's episode, we're pulling back the curtain and diving deep into the Tiny Habits story. Join us as we chat with Xenia, Maya, and Judah about the origins of the band, their journey to viral success with covers and then their own original music, and we do get the inside scoop on what fans down under can expect from their live shows. We also want to offer a massive shout out to Scott from Tiny Habits management team for making this episode possible. Now, before we embark on this musical journey, please make sure you subscribe to This Song Is Yours on your go-to podcast platform. Stay tuned for more fantastic episodes throughout the year by following us on social media. All details are waiting for you in today's show notes. So grab your headphones, settle in, and let's kick off 2024 with the enchanting sounds of Tiny Habits. Now I can come back to Boston. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Xenia, Judah and Maya, better known possibly collectively as Tiny Habits. Hello to all three of you. How are you going?
Hey.
Thank you, all three of you, to being here today. I do very much appreciate it. I am very excited to have you on the podcast this year today.
We are so excited. Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you so much for having us.
My absolute pleasure. For those who are listening, Tiny Habits is coming all the way to Australia.
We are, somehow.
Somehow we are making it over there. We are so excited.
Somehow our dreams are coming true this fast.
I know that you've been touring all around the world the past 18 to 24 months, I want to say. I think this is, if I'm correct, your first visit down to us here in Australia. Has anyone
very much
has anyone kind of given you guys anything to I guess any idea of what to expect or what you should do or maybe shouldn't do?
Not really.
We've heard that it's summer there.
It's going to be
We've heard to try Marmite. Mm-hmm. We've heard no
I was going to I think
people say that just for us to have an experience, not necessarily because we'll like it.
It's one of those things of definitely if you can try one or the other, do Vegemite over Marmite. There's at least a tiny bit more flavor.
Okay, I think maybe
that's what it is.
Vegemite.
Okay, got it.
Other than that, though, we're open. If you have suggestions,
spiders,
let us know.
Sharks.
We've heard, there's some spiders there.
We do have some, contentious wildlife, I might say, but I would say stick to the culinary stuff's always good, like Tim Tams, Vegemite, things like that.
Oh, I've heard of that.
I've had Tim Tams. You've never had Tim
really?
Tams?
No, I haven't.
They're delicious.
I've never been to Australia.
I'll make sure that after we wrap this up today, I'll get in touch with the powers that be to make sure that there are some Tim Tams there for you guys on arrival when once you land
Australia.
That's so nice. Now you are coming in support of, I believe you're supporting Gracie Abrams on a number of her shows, and you've got a show of your own in Melbourne, which is very, very exciting. How are you feeling about these kind of shows coming and bringing the show to a new audience?
So exciting.
It's exciting.
I think, at least for me, like, I've always dreamt about going to Australia, and it always felt so out of reach, especially like to go and play music there and like share my art. And so I think, like, I mean, after every experience we've had, even this year alone, like being able to travel and play our music together is like a dream. So the fact that we get to come to Australia and do that for a whole new audience is just really exciting.
It's also really cool because we've opened for Gracie before in North America in last March. And it was like such a sweet, it was our first ever tour, and it was like the sweetest experience ever. And her whole team is wonderful, and all of her fans are so sweet. And so it's sort of comforting to know that that's going to be there even across the globe, the planet.
Look, I can very much appreciate that. It's kind of like you're already somewhat prepared for what you're into in a way, just that the fans might have like slightly different, like myself, a different accent. I'm really excited personally. I, and not to kind of suck up to you, but, and just not because you're in front of me either. We were lucky enough to interview Lizzie McAlpine back in 2022, and she introduced me to your music. Cool. And so when the announcement came out, it was very, very exciting to see that you'll be coming to join us here in Australia. I'd love to know, I guess, from what I've been seeing, the demographics of Tiny Habit fans does seem to kind of cover a large spectrum of ages. Are you guys surprised at that kind of reaction?
Very.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel like yes, but also not really. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like historically there's been like Crosby, Stills and Nash is it's just a classic, and I feel like people of like the older generation sort of resonate with us in that similar way. But also, I don't know, I feel like we're something a little newer for
the younger audience.
Which is just sort of crazy to satisfy so many people at once.
I think it's been really cool because we've done only like a handful of our own like headline shows. And it's been really interesting to see because we've done so much like a lot of the opening sort of acts like we did for Gracie and Noah. But like having people show up to our own shows and seeing the demographic there has been really surprising and really cool because it is just like this big array of like ages, and it's really awesome. And I think it's really cool to see that like our music can resonate with
so many
people of all kinds of places.
Yeah,
it's nice.
I do absolutely love that. And I think it is a very, I don't want to say it's like a traditional sound. For anyone who hasn't listened to the band, who's listening to this podcast, please maybe put this conversation on pause and listen to the band. But what you guys do is this gorgeous kind of blending of harmony and incredible vocal arrangements that I feel they're both, what you're doing is both modern, somehow timeless, and it does seem to really be striking a chord with quite a few people around the world. And what I love is that this is kind of a coming together or a culmination of three very different people, to my understanding, from college that you then kind of met and then started this band. I was wondering if you might indulge me a little bit and kind of talk about how the three of you came together at Berkeley and how Tiny Habits was born.
Yeah, I could talk. Yeah. I always tell the story. I like to take credit a little bit for the story because, Jude and I started Berkeley during like COVID, like peak pandemic, and Sania had started a little bit, I guess, a year before us. But we started online. And so like the way that a lot of people would kind of make friends and meet people during that time was like through Instagram and just like online, because that's kind of all we had. And so during that fall semester, I had like followed both of them on Instagram and was just like a huge fan. Like I loved what Sinya was doing and I loved what he was doing. And I thought they were just like incredible musicians. And so when we finally got to Berkeley the semester after that, the spring semester, we had to quarantine in our dorm for, I think it was like 10 days or something. Mm-hmm. And after the 10 days, I had like DM'd Judah and I was like, do you want to come over and like sing with me in my dorm room? And he was like, okay. And like, he came over and I met him for the first time. And we like sang for a little bit. And then that same day I was DMing. So Sinya had posted this video on her Instagram story about, it was sort of like a PSA about not knowing how to use like the toilet paper roll handles in the dorm bathroom. It was like this weird contraption and she didn't know how to use it. And so she was like, somebody help me. Like, I don't know how to figure this out. And I swiped up because I couldn't, my roommate and I at the time couldn't figure it out either. And so I was like, oh, we don't know how to use it either. Like, did you figure it out? And she was like, yes. And she sent me this whole vlog about figuring out how to use it basically. And that's how we started talking. And so that same night I was like, hey, like my friend is here and we're singing together. I don't know if like, if you want to come over and like sing with us. And so she came over like maybe an hour after Judah was there. And I remember like us sitting on the floor of my dorm room. We just like sang some songs.
Crazy. And
we
were all like so nervous.
Yeah.
Cause it was like the first interaction I had outside of my like own roommate.
Yeah.
With like people in college.
Berkeley, yeah.
It's also funny because the culture at Berkeley is like, oh, it'd be like, do you want to jam? Like, come over, like let's sing together. But it's never like, it's never going to turn into anything in your head. You're like, oh, this is like fun. Like we're in college, like we'll sing and then I'll go home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. We never went home.
We kept singing after that. Yeah. And then we just would make videos and post them for about a year before we decided that we wanted to actually be a band for real. And then we did the thing.
It sounds like it was all very kind of organic and just kind of fell into place, almost like it was serendipitous. Very almost.
So. Yeah. It feels like that.
Very much.
I would love to know how... Because finding a sound, especially with three different musicians and songwriters and artists, I imagine is quite an interesting thing. How different were your individual kind of projects before coming together? Judah, I might start with you. Like, what was your kind of project or what were you working on before? And I guess, yeah, how closely does it align with what Tiny Habits is now?
Yeah, okay. I'll start. I mean, my, I guess, musical background is like, different. I started, my mom, like all of my family members are musicians. They sing, like my mom and her aunts, they're big singers. And so when we would come together, everybody had to sing. And then I was heavily involved in the church that I was going to when I was home. And I would sing there because my mom was like the head of the music department at that church. So she was obviously like, okay, like, what are you going to do? You're just going to sit on your ass? Like, no, get up here and fucking sing. And so I did that for a couple of years. I didn't get into like writing until the pandemic. And
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea, like, I didn't know what genre of music I wanted to do or anything like that. I just knew, like, I wanted to do music in some way, and I wanted to sing. I liked singing. And so then I applied for Berkeley and was like, okay, I'll do that. And by that time, I had written, like, maybe a few things, but still kind of didn't really know what I wanted to do artistically up until I met these guys. And then I guess something had clicked, and I just started writing and doing all that stuff. I was very big on arranging.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like harmony, like as you can tell, has kind of been a part of
genius
my life for a while. So like during the pandemic I would like because we obviously couldn't really do a lot because of COVID and all that stuff, so like I would sit in my car and like I had like a little app on my phone where I would like make harmonies with myself and stuff because I didn't have anybody to like sing with or anything. Like, and then
that's great.
I guess that's kind of the gist. I don't really know what else to do.
There you go. That's good.
Yeah. I am so excited about that. Maya, what about yourself?
I've kind of gone through a lot of different maybe genres, I would say. When I was young, when I was about like 12, I kind of got into like the jazz scene where I'm from back home. Just because that's more of a bigger scene where I'm from. So I sang like jazz for probably 7 years, 6 or 7 years until I went to Berkeley. And even when I started Berkeley, that was kind of what I was still doing. But I've always loved like a lot of folk music and a lot of older music. And I was really excited to go to Berkeley and just kind of see what would happen. Cause I never really thought that jazz was like the end goal for me, except I always loved it, but I knew that there was something else there. And then I got to Berkeley and I started writing a little. And yeah, I think just as I got older and continued to write and discover music. And then especially with these guys, I think we kind of just naturally fell into what we create now, which I think is even hard to like label as mm-hmm. a specific genre. Cause it's like, what do we say? It's like
singer, songwriter,
folk pop, but it's like not even, alternative. I don't even know if that's what it is.
I don't know either.
We're also still, I guess, figuring out
our sound is. Yeah. Which I think is really exciting because we're in this like cool limbo phase at the moment. But yeah, it's kind of been all over the place for the most part.
And Sinya, what about yourself?
I don't know. For a lot of my life, I was just a cover singer, and I would just kind of sing the songs I liked to sing, and mm-hmm. I just really liked singing. Like that was the extent of my musical identity, I think, for a long time. But then as I grew older and more angsty, I started to write, and I still didn't really have much of a concrete like sound for myself, but I just sort of like would mimic a lot of the artists I liked at the time, and it was like Tori Kelly and like just random people at that moment in my life. And I had this like weird neo soul phase for a second, which was funny. But then I just sort of settled into like, I knew I liked playing acoustic guitar, and I knew I liked to sing, and I knew I liked to express myself. And so I think however that sort of came out of me was just what it was going to be. And I think that's sort of still the way the three of us, mm-hmm. I think that's sort of what joins the three of us. It's just like, we know we do this, and these are the sounds we like. And this is what happens when you put that all together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's how this works.
Yeah. It's like, because we all have very different musical backgrounds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like cool to see like how all of that mixes in together. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it makes one mix of something and then there's like another mix of something else. And like, I don't know. We're still figuring it out. But
It's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
I absolutely love that, though. I think that the one thing that I think all of you like kind of touched on in a way is that the uniqueness of it. And I think that maybe to echo what you said before, Sinya, it is difficult to kind of pinpoint an exact. I even tried to tell my wife this morning about yourselves because I've been playing the music all week, and then folk pop seemed the most apt but didn't seem quite right. But it's a very interesting thing. I feel like it's almost like a good position to kind of be in, because if it's difficult to label, then you can kind of use it to your advantage in terms of opening multiple doors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I agree.
A number of people have found you guys through online viral videos where you're covering songs in, I think there's staircases, there seem to be in the back of touring vans. There's a lot of like impromptu, I imagine maybe impromptu cover sessions. For you, what goes into, how do you pick what song you're going to cover, and what goes then into kind of coming up with those arrangements?
We used to have a method. We used to just like, because we were really obsessed with like throwback songs, like songs that came out in like the early 2000s, and we would just like make a like acoustic, like very sad version of that song. And we'd have like a, like just go through a playlist and just like shuffle and just pick a random song. Recently it's kind of just been like whatever
we feel
like singing.
Sometimes random songs from like way back when will just like pop up in our brains and we're like, oh, we should cover that.
I feel like we, like the three of us will like hear a song and like hear the harmonies that could be there.
Yeah.
And then we're like, should we do this song or what?
Yeah.
Or what's up?
That's that's definitely how it happens.
I too love that. And then, sorry.
Yeah. No.
In terms of arranging, I feel like it's sort of similar to the way that we go about everything, and it's just sort of organic and like
natural. Yeah,
we'll just start playing the chords and start singing, and then like sort of organically fall into parts, and then like create more specific ideas.
Yeah,
and that
it honestly it does seem like it is very organic for all of you, that it kind of comes very naturally and without a lot of I don't want to say stress. What's the word I'm looking for? Like without a lot of kind of persevering and endearing, that it kind of does. That it just seems to work naturally between the three of you, which I think is such a brilliant thing for a band.
Thank you. That's awesome. Thanks.
It's definitely gotten easier the more we spent time with each other.
Yeah.
Like the arranging process and sometimes even the writing process happens a lot faster because of the, like just us spending so much time together, and we just know each other musically now.
Of course.
We know what people are going to do.
I would I'd also love to chat about, because you have then moved into writing your own original music. There was a beautiful EP that came out, I think, around April of 2023. And I was wondering if you might indulge me a little bit, because I want to be slightly selfish and ask about one of my favorite tracks of the year, not just from the EP, but of the year in general, was Hemingway, which was, I think, one of the main songs off the EP. Such a gorgeous track. And I was wondering, if you might indulge me in how that song kind of came about and the creation and inspiration behind it.
That's such a funny one.
That's a funny one to like.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote that song for a class.
For a songwriting class.
Right. And it was, the assignment was to write a song with this based on a street name. And the street in Boston is Hemingway Street. And I was inspired by my own breakup, which didn't actually happen on Hemingway. It happened on Commonwealth. But it didn't rhyme so well. So.
That doesn't sound as good.
But yeah, I just wrote that song. I wrote it for a class, and
I remember so like you were just like, I wrote this. Like, what do you guys think? It was for songwriting, and we're like, yeah, that's like fire. We should sing it.
But I don't think any of us were like, oh man.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, it wasn't like one of the mind blowing ones.
Yeah, but
that's awesome.
Seemed to really like it.
In terms of the, I guess, both the original material and covers, translating it into a live kind of setting, how do you balance, I guess, having your own music in there and then choosing certain covers for certain places? Like, I think you recently just finished up a tour with Noah Kahan and traveling Europe and the UK. Like, do you tailor the covers to possibly the locations that you're at?
No.
Not usually. We got lucky this tour, though.
Yeah. The covers that we chose, people really gravitated to. Mm-hmm.
But Keen, we did a Keen. Where are they from?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
We did a Keen cover, and I think they're from Europe.
They're British.
Oh, there you go. That was just luck.
So
we didn't know that
was lucky. People really, really loved and knew that song.
But we've thought about maybe something special for Australia.
Right.
We got.
Do you have any
suggestions?
Some recommendations.
Paul, if you're talking like early 2000s kind of throwbacks, you could do like the Veronicas.
Oh wait, what is that one song?
Forever, or
how does it go?
You know, do you want to sing it?
You don't sing it.
There's no chance.
I think I know the one song.
We'll look it up. We'll figure something out.
I'd say Veronica's, Missy Higgins. Yeah. There's a few other Australian artists I can send through outside of this.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Got it.
Right.
Got it.
Well, yeah. Maybe we'll pick something fun for the Australia shows. Or
yeah.
But yeah, we always like to throw in maybe one or two just because the people love to sing along. So.
Look, very exciting to hear. We are going to be making sure that the tickets to your your Howler show in Melbourne and all the Gracie shows are included in the podcast show notes. We would usually end with asking what everyone's listening to. Sinya, would you like to start us this time around on what you're currently listening to?
I've been listening to a lot of Troye Sivan.
Same.
He's from Australia.
He's Australian.
Right?
Perfect.
There we go.
Perfect.
And yeah. That's all that's solid right now.
I've been listening to the Sabrina Carpenter Fruit Cake EP, Christmas EP. It's super good.
Really good.
It's really good. Yeah, big fan.
Solid choices.
Yeah. Mine's also Troye Sivan.
Troye Sivan.
Yeah, I've been really crazy
on that.
Obsessed. So obsessed.
It is a fantastic record, Troye Sivan. Very well. So all very solid choices. I do want to say a massive thank you to all three of you, Sinya, Judah and Maya. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. And we look forward to seeing you in Australia this month for those shows with Gracie and with yourself.
Yay, you're so awesome. You're thank you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.